At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Welcome in. It is the Mile High Huddle podcast, the aftermath episode. I'm your host, Chad Jensen, and with me is my fellow football priest, who you know, who you love, Zach Kelberman. Zach, the Broncos are 3-2, bro, after starting 0-2. Bo Nix is the first Broncos rookie quarterback to ever win three games in a row. He's also the only Broncos quarterback to ever connect with 11 different receivers in a single game. The previous record was 10 receivers, and it happened 16 different times in Broncos history, but never 11 till yesterday against the Raiders.
He's also the first Broncos quarterback to ever chew out, at least fire back to Sean Payton. And the juxtaposition, again, from Russell Wilson to Bo Nix is pretty staggering. But it was a good day for Denver to the extent, Chad, that even PFF bumped PS2's grade up. He's now the 16th best cornerback in the NFL out of 101 qualifiers. I think the bigger surprise there is that Riley Moss is ranked number 7 overall. So new no-fly zone is in effect.
I know I noticed that today. I did a quick write-up on what Sean Payton said about Riley Moss today. So for craps and gigs, I pulled up the PFF rankings because sometimes it can be decent context. And sure enough, there was PS2 at 16 and Riley Moss at 7. I was like, wow. But we'll get into more of that here in just a moment. First thing I want to touch on is, you know, after how things shook out last year with Russell Wilson, the sideline spat, I know a lot of Broncos fans were a little bit anxious about it. I want to get to what's been said by Coach Payton and Bo Nix. Here's what Payton said last night after the game when he was asked directly about that little, we'll call it a verbal altercation, a repartee. Mr. Producer's got it right here for us.
How would you characterize the conversation you had with Bo after the miss fired in the end zone to Franklin? And I've seen you have these conversations.
It's part of the deal. Listen, last year, all of a sudden, there's still a little bit of Ferris Bueller in this player that we got to get rid of. All right, talking about Bo, and I love him to death. And so sometimes it's my love language. All right?
Can you say what it was about?
No. Okay. No. Absolutely not.
Okay, so my question to you, Zach, what does he mean by that? Is he just meaning that kind of the rebellious ne'er-do-well, perhaps more like happy-go-lucky teenager, oblivious to some of the demands of the cruel real world? Is that what you think he meant by the Ferris Bueller?
Probably. And as I mentioned yesterday, when you watch Bo Nix in the pocket, especially throwing deep, he seems a little antsy. He seems a little giddy. And maybe behind the scenes, Chad, and Sean Payton's eyes, a little too try-hard for his liking. I think there's just a lot of nervous energy that's built up with Bo Nix based on the way he's wired, based on how much he loves the game and the intensity that he brings. But Bill Belichick, I want to just point this out there. He was on the Pat McAfee show and he summed it up quite well, in my opinion. He said the two guys that are committed to winning, Sean coaches the players hard and he gets on them. Sometimes the players kick back a little bit. Sometimes they don't. But in that situation, it's a good, healthy exchange. You want to see that from your quarterback. You want to see an alpha versus an alpha. You don't want to see an alpha versus a beta, which is what we experienced last season.
Yeah, so Scott, Mr. Producer's read is that the Ferris Bueller reference is more about a young guy kind of doing it his own way or flaunting authority, which – we know, or at least we've heard anecdotally, nothing specific from the team, but we've heard anecdotally that one of the things that Peyton was up in arms about was that missed shot to Franklin, which it was a connection. Like, that was a great throw by Bo. Franklin drops it. If he catches it, it's probably a different story, but that it was he changed the play at the line of scrimmage. Okay. So maybe taking things into his own hands a little bit, depending on the field position. I want to say they were just outside field goal range. They ended up having to punt on the ensuing play, but maybe it's that, Zach. It's kind of like with my teenager, you know, I might flash anger if something out of the gates, whatever it might be, you know, I might flash anger, jump down his throat. He'll put his dukes up and then I'll calm down and be like, all right, let me help you understand this, what I'm saying here. And then we come to an understanding perhaps, but yeah, that does make some sense, flaunting of authority a little bit with, because that's what Ferris Bueller is all about.
And credit to Bo Nix for taking the blame. I wrote about it if anyone wants to read at the website. Mm-hmm. He took the blame for the Troy Franklin missed TD. He said he overthrew Franklin, which sounds like he's earning his captain stripes more so than being genuine there. It was a perfect throw. Troy Franklin just dropped it. He did confirm they changed protections at the line of scrimmage. They flipped protections. That obviously pissed off Sean Payton quite a bit. But as I talked about yesterday, Chad, you mentioned a kid or a teenager. It's like that moment in every teenager's life, every kid's life, when you stand up to your parents, when you actually talk back and open your mouth, and your parents realize you can't govern and parent the same anymore. It's a whole different era now. So I think Sean realized that Bo grew up fairly quickly in that moment.
Yeah, there's that moment in time that every parent has where no longer because I say so is an answer. Like,
right.
You know, kids are respectful and disrespectful to varying degrees, and it often kind of depends on where they're at in their own developmental arc. But pretty soon when you have to start justifying things and you got to help them understand why what I say goes in this particular instance. I've been down the road a few times. I can see which way it turns. I've got the map. You can't see it because you can't see around turns. So trust me when I say that if you turn left here instead of hanging a right, you're going to be into a neighborhood you don't want to be in. Chris Chances, what up, bro?
Thank you,
Chris. So good to see you. Thank you, big dog. He says, hi, Chad and Zach and Scott. Still the best in the biz. Thank you, brother. I had surgery today, so I'll be out for a couple weeks. I hope all is well, though, bro. Says, I wanted your thoughts on what defensive player will have a breakout year. Well, first of all, thoughts and prayers to you, big dog. I hope everything's okay, and we'll miss you while you're out. To answer your question, I think we're seeing it. You know, I don't think, Zach, you can quite say that Patrick Surtain's going to break out anywhere. He's been on the radar since he was his rookie year. But I would throw in Riley Moss is already emerging. Because one of the things that happens is it becomes not a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's more of an outside prophetic creation, like PFF, for example, created Matt Paradis. Now, it just so happens, and other players like Chris Harris Jr. early on, this was in the fledgling days of PFF. But not to say, Zach, that Matt Paradis wasn't legit. He was. But his perfect scores and marks, his first year as a starter, in 2015, I want to say, you know, it wasn't always as good as PFF made it out to be, and yet constantly being number one and them constantly writing about him in editorials and blogs and whatnot, it built up this head of steam. It was a legit breakout year for Matt Paradis, thanks in part to some of the hype that was built by analytics sites like PFF. I see that happening right now for Riley Moss. Do you have anyone else defensively breaking out here for Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I want to give a shout-out to, I believe, the Broncos sacks leader, Jonathan Cooper, who's helping make Baron Browning expendable. And we said this when Browning went on IR between Benito, Cooper, Jonah Ellis. I don't think Browning plays another starter snap in a Denver uniform, being a free agent. Zach Allen, I read earlier today that he has a 26% pass rush win rate at defensive tackle. No other player, according to ESPN, is above 20%. I think he's fourth overall or fifth in quarterback pressures in the entire NFL of all positions. So he's absolutely dominating and been worth every penny the Broncos paid him. So between Moss, Cooper,
and Allen,
yeah. I think those are the breakouts, Chris.
For what it's worth, you're right. Jonathan Cooper leads the team with 4 sacks through 5 games. Zach Allen has 3. Nick Benito has 3. Then you got 2 players with 2, John Franklin Myers and Dondre Tillman. and then a few ones and ones and a half, one and a half, so to speak. Chris, get well soon, big dog. We got Sam Bam in the house.
Thank you, Sam.
Great to see you, bro. Hope you're doing so good. He says, evening, guys. The Broncos finally beat the Las Vegas Raiders despite being down 10 early. This team is only going to get better, and I think the playoffs are a real possibility. 10-7. Go Broncos. Yeah, I kept so in Luke's Three Keys to Victory, he wrote that Broncos have a chance to beat the Las Vegas Raiders for the first time ever. And it's confusing because without then adding the context that, and by the way, you know, they've never defeated the Raiders since they moved to Las Vegas. It's kind of, so I would edit it in a way that made that clear and whatever. But it's true. Yesterday was the first Denver Broncos victory, Zach, over the Las Vegas Raiders. In fact, I think it was the last game played as the Oakland Raiders was the last game the Broncos won before yesterday. So, yeah, it's been a long time coming, bro. And, yeah, I agree. Playoffs are a real possibility. Like, it's a plausible thing here. And especially, Zach, if they can capitalize on these next 2 or 3 weeks relative to the schedule before things really start stiffening up.
After the losses to Rich Bisaccia and Josh McDaniels, it's so nice to have the culture flipped and get one up on the Raiders. These are the Broncos' next 5 games, to your point, Sam. Home against the Chargers at New Orleans on Thursday night. Home for the Panthers at Baltimore and at Kansas City. Now, it gets tougher when you hit the Baltimore portion of the schedule going forward. If you fancy yourself a contender, Sam, like you do, you got to win the games you're supposed to win. That starts Sunday, Chad, against the Chargers. They're coming off the bye, but they're all sorts of beat up. The Broncos are on a 3-game winning streak. If they want to get to 10-7, you got to win games like the one coming up on Sunday.
No doubt about it. What they opened up, Zach, what was it, 2-point home dogs?
Yeah, crazy.
Sam, love you, big dog. And by the way, just real quick to circle back to our previous topic, Jonah Ellis is tied for the rookie lead with 1.5 sacks. And as Mr. Producer points out in our chat, not exactly a breakout rookie pass rusher so far from this draft class, but still cool to see. The Papa Bear, David McElrath, checking in. We're twinners, see? Good to see you, brother. Thank you. He says, good evening, Broncos country. Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott. Keeping his hashtag game strong, Zach. Hashtag 10-7. God bless the USA. MHH, 10-7 plus, by the way. MHH for life. Buckham times 3. Broncos for life. Knicks for 6. SEAL Team Knicks. Let's go, Bo. I love it, dude. Thank you, David. The optimism is contagious. We love it. That's how we live around these parts. So thank you, bro. The Ronk checking in to say good evening, Chad and Zach, on the Mile High Huddle podcast aftermath. Go, Bo Broncos. Thank you, brother. Good to see you tonight. Mark Reinhardt checking in on Super Chat.
Thank you.
Appreciate Mark. You, big dog. Great to see you. Longtime listener, Zach. First time giving. Go Broncos. So, Mark, thank you, big dog. You've been listening a long time. This is the first time throwing down a Super Chat. We don't take it lightly. We see that as a tremendous honor. So, thank you. That's $5 you worked your tail off in one form or another to earn. That you're passing on to us, and we take that as a huge honor. So thank you, big dog, and please make yourself known in the chat. Questions, topics, we want to hear from you, big dog.
Yeah, as Chad likes to say, welcome to the manger, Mark. Your official welcome. Appreciate you listening, and we're happy to have you. If you have any questions, comments, like Chad said, fire away. We'll get to it. Wow,
we've got a Mount Rushmore Super Chat superstar. Gary Palmer. There once was a time when Gary was a first-time Super Chatter, and I would say that was about a little over 5 years ago, early 2019 season. GLP in the house. And also, this is one of those cats, by the way, goes all the way back to the 24/7 Sports Zach Kelberman solo experience on Facebook as well. So OG, Gary Palmer. Thank you, bro. Very generous Super Chat. He says, I'm just letting you know I'm dealing with health problems. That's why I don't get to the live pods. Love MHH. Go Broncos. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Gary. If there's anything we can do to help out, let us know. And we'll send our thoughts and prayers, the community, and positive vibes your way. Because, guys, in case you have not gotten a chance to meet the GLP, he was at the meet and greet, not this year, not the year prior, but the one before that. And just trust me when I say this man goes hard. And he went to great length, traveled many hundreds of miles to make it there, and he goes hard. So Gary, love you, big dog. You'll get through this too shall pass.
Yeah, Gary, I was smiling when Chad said the 24/7 days because it feels like a lifetime ago, and it really has been in Broncos land, but you've been there the entire time, the entire way, supporting us. We appreciate it so much, and we know you'll get better. If there's anything we can do, please reach out and let us know. Appreciate you as always.
Yeah, buddy, appreciate you. Thank you, Gary, the GLP. All right, Zach, here is what Bo Nix said about the little thing on the sideline. Quote, hey, well, first of all, hey, Bo, can you tell us what happened, that animated sideline conversation with head coach Sean Payton? Quote, he turned and looked at me and said, I love you. And I turned and looked to him and said, I love you back. Ha ha. And then he kind of chuckles. Close quote. So both of them, Zach, dismissing it out of hand. Hopefully Broncos fans have heard this by now. It's kind of a nothing to see here in terms of any like implications that you need to worry about. But I think it's kind of interesting how both of them used the L word. In Sean Payton's case, yesterday, last night, post game, he said, it's my love language. Today, he said that he loved it. He loved that Bo Nix kind of has that fire and that passion to come back at him on the sideline like that. And then, of course, Bo Nix today, or pardon me, yesterday, Zach, at the podium post game saying, the love word. So, yeah, these guys, I think it's pretty safe to say, you know, it might be kind of a father-sonny type of bromance going, but it's a bromance nonetheless.
There's not too much to read into, but I'm going to delve deeper, put my psychologist hat on. I think Bo Nix saying that, Chad, I think he's putting himself on the same level as Sean Payton. And could be wrong, obviously, but, you know, just man to man, player to coach, I think he feels like he can bark back at Sean Payton. He can dish back the medicine that Payton hands out to his players. And just like Belichick said, who would know better than anyone on the face of the planet, this is a healthy, normal exchange. It's a passionate game, an intense game, and two guys that are really trying hard to win and turn the things around for the Broncos.
Exactly. It's two competitors competing and getting caught up in the moment and that fiery passion. You know, that's another word that Sean Payton touched on yesterday, the passion and how much you care about what football and not other things. And it's pretty clear for Bo Nix, that's what he cares about. Leroy, what's up, brother, on Facebook, saying, Mile High salute, guys. Great win yesterday. Question, do you think Sean Payton can use Marvin Mims more on the jet sweeps with his speed and maybe use him on screen plays? We have to find a way to get this kid the ball more. Can he? Absolutely he can, and he should. It should be, Zach, more of a point when he touches. I mean, yesterday that little sweep play, which is becoming a more and more common play in the NFL that's used by, you know, teams with the speed demon like that. The problem is you can't go to it regularly in the same way that you would, for example, run a stretch run off the right tackle or whatever, but you got to find ways to use him more. And I like, Zach, also that in the last 3 weeks, Troy Franklin's been worked into the mix more and more. Question is, what's that going to look like when Devon Vale's rib is 100% back to good, you know, back to full health?
Yeah, I mean, we saw what Marvin Mims looks like on jet sweeps and the trick plays, and it wasn't ever productive. He had trouble holding onto the ball and making yardage. And it's going to come off hypocritical from my point of view because I want to get the explosive players like Mims and Franklin more touches and open up the offense, but I just prefer not to do it horizontally. Take shots down the field, you know, open up the whole length of the field for the other players to run down the middle, the inseam routes, the tight ends and the running backs down the middle of the field, and to take some coverage away with the receivers. And I think Marvin Mims and Franklin could do that. Look, Chad, if Franklin would have just squeezed the ball, that's an explosive long touchdown bomb that you wouldn't normally otherwise see. It's there. The execution's not quite 100%.
Yeah, and Bo Nix would have finished somewhere around like 270 passing, 3 touchdowns, 1 rushing. I mean, yeah, it would have been
a good day at the office.
Yeah, exactly. String guy, what's up, big dog? I was just playing a PRS. I'll have you know, right before I jumped on to talk with the dudes and stream with y'all. It was dope. It's a PRS CE, and the flame on it is just kill. It's one of the bolt-ons, one of the old bolt-ons from the 90s. He says, good evening, all. Are we getting our hopes up too much after the Broncos win against the Raiders? Nick and Scott predicted 6 wins for the season, those dour pessimists that they are. That's not String Guy's word. That's my words. Is this really a team that can make the playoffs? I think it is a team that can make the playoffs. The problem is, as it stands right now, this is a team that really needs everything to go right for them in order for that to happen. And we know in the NFL, Zach, that's actually very rarely going to happen. Now, if you start, if what you saw in the third and fourth quarter from this team, Zach, offensively becomes more of just the status quo, and I think the farther we inch into the season, the more that will become more status, then this team could beat anybody because that defense, and then you've got the sound complementary special team. So I think it's – no, it's not getting your hopes up too much. They're 3-2. They dug out of an 0-2 hole. They're doing some good things. It's just still a little – offensively, Zach, it's still a little too spotty. Like Mike Evans real quick, and then I'm serving it back. And his studs and duds last night did a good job of listing, you know, the key studs and a dud or two or whatever. And then at the end, he offered an additional little blurb about the takeaway, which is basically that it's good to see some steps forward from the offense, but it can't be that spluttering, right? Where it's like flash and then crap and then flash, flash, crap, 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 crap. One step forward, two steps back type thing. So, but that's part and parcel of starting a rookie quarterback.
Well, I mean, if the season ended today, they would be in the playoffs as I think the 5 seed. In the AFC. So can they? Absolutely. They have to keep it up over the course of the season. Nick and Scott aren't the only ones that were initially down. I guess I could put it on the Broncos. Vegas had the over-under at 5.5. The Broncos are already more than halfway to reaching that goal and proving everyone wrong. So like I said, if they win the games they're supposed to win, Carolina, the Chargers, a few others, and they also could spring a few upsets, but most importantly, play consistent, keep up the solid defense, get the running game going consistently, and hope you see a step or two from Bo Nix. There is no reason why, Chad, they can't sneak in as a wild card, even as a 9 or 10 win team.
Yeah. I'm just trying to follow some of the fuzzy math, to quote George W. Bush here, with Todd Ostendorf. I see us winning 2 of the next 3 games. That would make them 6. That would make them 5-3. Yes. Yeah, one of these days, string guy. Maybe one of these days we can rock out and shred some licks. Okay, Zach, I want to get back to some of the topics at hand today. Vance Joseph is beginning to get some true flowers. Peter Schrager awarded Vance Joseph, the Broncos defensive coordinator, his Coach of the Week honor. Zach, what are you making of Vance Joseph continuing to kind of outkick his coverage?
I hope he continues to. I'll happily eat crow and hope it lasts the whole season. You know why? Because if he becomes a head coach, the Broncos get 2 third-round picks, and I'll take that in the war chest any day. You have Jim Leonard that can take over, who I think behind the scenes is doing a much bigger job than he's getting credit for, but all credit, and like you said, the flowers go to VJ. Entering week 6, Chav, they're top 5 in most metrics, you know, suffocating offenses across the board. So can't say much wrong about them, except the running defense is a little spotty at times.
Still a little bit leaky. Yesterday it was early in the game against the Raiders before they kind of got their act together. But here's what Schrager said, quote, "The Denver Broncos defense is the best in the league, and they were rocking those Orange Crush uniforms, and they absolutely dominated the Raiders. They fell down 10-0 in this game, and then Pat Surtain, pick 6 in the second quarter, got things going. They had 3 interceptions against the Raiders as a team, but looking at this unit the entire season, they're allowing 14 points per game, which is 2nd in the league. They have 19 sacks, 75 QB pressures, 41 QB hits, all of which are top 3 in the league. I am so excited to give Vance Joseph the award, Coach of the Week, Zach, this week."
Well deserved. I like to see the national media come around on the Broncos. Before the Jets game, I saw the NFL Network roundtable, and everyone but one, I think it was Adam Rank, picked the Jets. So the more the national media comes around, the more the respect the Broncos get. In this instance, I don't think it's hyperbole or exaggerated. I think VJ is doing that well of a job with the defense.
Another thing I want to turn real quick, turn the page here. And by the way, we're at about 23 minutes. We're doing really good on time. But any burning topics, questions, supers, get them in the chat now. Zach, this is an article forthcoming from Kenneth Booker, but Pat Surtain appeared on the Pat McAfee show today, was asked about the Bo Nix, Sean Payton sideline disagreement. And here's what he told Pat McAfee, quote, They got the same personality. They just want to win games at the end of the day. You see guys like that going at it, but it's just because of the high enthusiasm within the game and how much it means to them at the end of the day, close quote. So, Zach, going back to the passion thing, competitors, it matters to them.
I mean, I can only speak for myself. If I'm on the sideline and I see my quarterback getting dressed down by my head coach and my quarterback's response is to look at his feet and look very sheepish, then I don't know that I can go to bat respect-wise for that quarterback. If I see that quarterback, though, give it back to the head coach, but do it in a respectful way. I'm sure it wasn't a personal attack. I'm sure Bo Nix was just defending his play professionally. Then I respect that guy. I want a little bit of an a-hole from my quarterback. I don't want some passive, aw shucks. It's okay, everybody. And that's what we have and had. I should say had the last, 8 or 9 years.
Exactly. And just having the sand to stand up as a rookie like that, going back to the Ferris Bueller thing, right? Like sometimes, a cat who thinks he's the cock of the walk, sometimes he is the cock of the walk. And, every once in a while, though, that needs to be checked a little bit. But one thing that was interesting, Zach, about the exchange, if you go back and watch it, and we'd play it for you guys, but we'd get copyright claim because it was part of a television broadcast. But you'll notice, Zach, early on that Davis Webb seemed to be also raising his voice in defense of Bo Nix, it seemed. Now, I'm not a lip reader, and I'm not telepathic. I couldn't tell you exactly. But just judging the body language and the kind of dynamics going on there, it seemed Davis Webb was, to quote Conor McGregor, throwing down on behalf of the Rook.
Yeah, and again, the juxtaposition, I tweeted both videos side by side last night. When you watch the Russell Wilson dress down against the Lions, Davis Webb is standing there and taking it along with Russell Wilson. He wasn't clapping back in defense of the quarterback. And after he did, you saw Peyton kind of push him and get his attention and kind of remind him what went wrong. So I like to see the camaraderie, but again, as Belichick said, it's a normal, healthy part of the game.
Mark Williams, what's up? Good to see you on Facebook, my friend. Thank you for being with us tonight, saying good evening, guys. Is there any chance Denver goes after Davante Adams? Go Broncos. Zach, you're shaking your head. Explain why that's a very high improbability.
Number one, they would have to eat, I'm assuming, a large portion of Davante Adams' contract, which is kind of a no-go for a team that's absorbing Russell Wilson's dead money. And again, the obvious is, why would the Raiders trade him in the division to the Broncos? I'm sure they have other suitors they can find. And I don't see Denver being all that active. We talked about it last night, being aggressive for this playmaking receiver, whoever's out there by the deadline. I would rather go for Amari Cooper than Davante Adams. That's just me.
Some of the old, kind of old school taboos of the NFL are slowly going the way of the dodo. But you never say never, but one of the tried and true taboos is trading in the division. It's not to say it doesn't happen every once in a blue moon, but it's pretty rare. And especially a blue chip guy like that, a bona fide stud. Could the Broncos use the kind of skills he brings to the table? Absolutely. But think about this. Not only what Zach just said about eating a lot of his contract, you're already cap strapped, but he's also 31, dude.
Yep.
So whatever capital you give up, let alone what you absorb money-wise, but like, they want a second round pick plus additional compensation, according to the most recent reporting, Zach. A second round pick to a diva 31-year-old receiver, as good as he is, miss me on that.
You nailed it with diva. I mean, he forced his way to the Raiders to play with his BFF Derek Carr. Now he might force his way to the Jets to play with Aaron Rodgers. I don't want someone with that type of mentality kind of poisoning the culture that Sean Payton's building. I'd rather get Devon Vele involved if they're going to keep it in-house. I'd rather get Marvin Mims involved, Trey Franklin going. You have receiving options that you can work with already. You don't have to trade for Devontae.
Okie, I get the spirit of what you're saying. He's not exactly a free agent, but build through the draft, not overpriced veterans. And I would agree with you on that, my friend. However, I would caveat this conversation, Mark, by saying that if the Broncos, who are now in the conversation, they're competitive, as Zach mentioned, if the playoffs started this weekend, they're in. So you're going for it. And if they see an opportunity to bring someone in via trade that could really be a net positive for the offense, then they should do it. However, this deep in, I don't see him really making a play to bring someone in on offense. I think a big part of this is just this collection of talent. Zach just needs more and more reps and time on task with the rookie. And the more that builds, these guys that seemed early in the season, Zach, slow at times, painfully slow at times, dropping passes, just not fighting, just not showing that will to win, not just win the game. I mean, like you saw from Cortland Sutton yesterday, Zach, where he broke a tackle, fought, spun, picked, and moved the chains. Like that will, that intensity that the best teams have across the board, you know, as you're starting to see that even today, Zach, Sean Payton, one of his comments about one of his comments in regard to Bo Nix, he said, I maintain, I'll just read this real quick. He said, he has real good command of what he's doing. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. We have to keep painting a better picture around him, which is once again, a call, a challenge to the playmakers and to the coaches to, you know, be better for Bo Nix. And we're seeing it in spurts, Zach. We just need to see it a little bit more consistently.
You know, I'm actually, I know I said Amari Cooper, but if they didn't trade for a receiver, I'd be fine with that. They do have young talent, like I mentioned. If they're going to make any trade, bring me a freaking tight end that can make a play down the seam. Dulcich is not the answer. You're banking on Lucas Kroll or Donald Parham. Maybe Kyle Pitts, Chad, if there's ever someone outside to go after, I would love to take a chance on him. I don't know how open Atlanta would be to trading him, but just someone dynamic at that position that can open up the seam for Bo.
And by the way, as Zach mentioned earlier, like Troy Franklin, Bo Nix taking the blame for him on the obviously drop touchdown. He could be a guy that 6 weeks from now we're talking about as a bona fide stud. Like each game, he seems to kind of get more and more of his pro legs underneath him. But this is what Bo Nix said. Zach has the article, guys. Go read it at milehighhuddle.com after the show. But this was Bo Nix, quote, it was a single play. We had it flipped. He wanted it to the boundary, and we just kind of got confused there in the huddle. So I tried to get things right. We ended up having it, had a chance. I overthrew it, he says, but that's part of the game sometimes. With the huddle operation, sometimes you just have to make the most of guys, how it is with the play clock moving. You just have to make the most of it, and fortunately it didn't bite us, close quote. So, I mean, you can make an argument in a perfect world, Zach, that it was slightly overthrown. I would not assert that, but you can make the argument in that he was having to really kind of stretch out and like use every last afterburner to get there, to get close the arc, you know, but still hits you like this, you know, like Lion King on Pride Rock or whatever it's called. And you're about to lift Simba. If it hits you like that, like you're about to lift Simba and you're an NFL wide receiver, you got to catch that ball, dude.
That was what I was going to say. Bo said, I wouldn't put that drop on Franklin because he had to track it after it traveled about 60 air yards. And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of his responsibility as a receiver is tracking the ball in the air and catching a wide open touchdown pass from your former college teammate. They had 23 touchdowns at Oregon together over two seasons, Chad. This is old hat to them, but I hope, because I agree with what you said earlier, 7-8 weeks from now, Franklin could be taking off as the number two, maybe even the number one receiver. I just hope that Sean Payton stays patient with Troy Franklin. He doesn't shy away from him. He doesn't put him back in the doghouse now. Stick with him because I think the dividends are coming.
And this is another point to the topic of not just stick with Franklin, but stick with this group of receivers that you have. Talking about will, effort, intensity, etc. As KB points out, little Jordan Humphrey almost broke it for a touchdown purely based on effort. I would say it's effort. It's will to win the rep. It's will to win the game. That will word, man, will power, everything associated with that. That's part of cultivating the right mindset. And it's not easy to do as a head coach to instill that in 53 plus guys and have everyone rowing in the same direction at the same time. And, you know, all those little things that you got to bring together, but that's what the great teams do. And Sean Payton's been able to do it in years past, having everybody rowing in the same direction and just giving that little bit of extra effort. I mean, it's everything they've got, but they could dial it back and just, I caught the pass. Oh, I'm tackled. You know, I go down like Noah Fant all those years. But in the case of little Jordan Humphrey, no, he gave it the extra juice. It paid off. Not quite a touchdown, but a big play for the Broncos that flipped the field. Same thing goes for Jaleel McLaughlin's touchdown, Zach. The aforementioned Cortland Sutton fighting for the yardage a couple of different times for Pookie, like when they got that field goal to end the second quarter. He's leaping over a guy, taking a shot just because he knows it gives his kicker a couple extra yards closer to make that kick. Like, these are the type of things you need to see on the reg. They can't be here and there. They can't be when we feel like it. That needs to be standard operating procedure.
Absolutely. I never played in the NFL, but I'm assuming it's a lot easier to give more effort when you're winning a game and not losing and not always playing from a deficit. Sean Payton talked about the PS2 pick six being a 10-point swing because Vegas was already in at least a field goal range, and he's absolutely right. The team looked completely different night and day after that PS2 pick six. So the long and short of it, the point is, if you can pin your ears back on offense and defense when you have a lead, it's a lot easier to play, a lot more freeing to play. You don't think, you just go out there and you just function. And we saw that with little Jordan Humphrey.
Good point there, KB. Thanks for chiming in, big dog. He's been holding down the fort with Eric Trickle on Dove Valley Deep Divers every Friday night. Been great to see big dog. Yeah, 3-yard catch that went for 27, flipping the field in that particular instance. Okay, we're at 35 minutes, guys. We'll probably keep it a little bit short because I can see there's a lot of people also talking about Chiefs Saints that I just turned on myself. Looks like the Chiefs are settling for a field goal here, top of the second, about to go up 10-0 on the Saints. But we're all Saints fans this week, obviously. But, Zach, unfortunately, it's like I just watched – they had to settle for a field goal. But, look, Patrick Mahomes still looks like – he just reminds me – I hate to say it, but it just reminds me of watching Jordan play in his prime, where it just looks like everything is just slowed. So, like you know, whatever, like the Flash or like Neo from Matrix, where he can slow down time and just operate and get done what he wants to do. Whereas like everyone else is flailing and like trying to get there. But to him, it's just like the game has slowed down to such a level, man, he's just going to be a thorn in our side for a long freaking time, guys. Long time, unfortunately.
To me, I was going to say, it's like watching, and I hate to say it too, Tom Brady back in the New England days. Now that Mahomes has a elite defense, because they play with their food for 3.5 quarters. It's cat and mouse. They let teams hang around. They like keeping it a close game, but Patrick Mahomes is inevitable. They just always find a way to win the game, and the referees always find a way to rule in their favor. It's funny how that happens.
Okay, guys, this is officially your 2-minute warning. I'm about to dip on out of here. Unfortunately, just real quick, as a bring you up to speed, I said last night as we were getting off the pod, we weren't quite able to get to 500 likes live to do the additional raffle. But if you could get last night's stream to 1,000 by the time we went live for the aftermath pod, that we do it tonight. And it was at about 8:50 when we went live. So unfortunately, we didn't quite hit that. But it's all good. You know, that stream has had something approaching 9,000 views on it since last night. And we appreciate each and every one of the people who take time to listen to our podcast. And we're additionally all the more grateful when they choose to comment or engage live in the chat. And as you know, there's a reason why we call those who support the podcast financially Super Chat Superstars and Super Supporters on Facebook, because it really does help us keep the lights on and gives us the autonomy to not be like super dependent on finding a podcast network that'll just feed us ads all the time. So like we're dropping like 4 ads on you per episode. We try to work them in when it fits the show and stuff, but it's because of our superstars. We don't have to do that every single show. And that's a credit to you guys. So thank you. Zach's got a few messages for you here, guys, and then we're going to dip out. So this is the last call.
Another amazing aftermath episode of the Mile High Huddle podcast. If you're not doing so, please give us a follow on Twitter at the MHH Pod. You can follow the main account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle. Chad at Chad and Jensen, myself at Kelberman NFL, and Scott, our producer, at Scout Kennedy. If you guys want some merch like we're rocking each and every single podcast, check out mhhmerch.com and get you some. If you haven't done so yet, please give us a like at facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. You can find us on Instagram at mile_high_huddle. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure you're leaving your Football Priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, y'all, please, please subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really helps us grow and reach more Broncos fans just like you. Hit those thumbs up, guys.
Hit them right now, guys. We still have like almost 200 live on YouTube, Facebook. Guys, smash the like button. Help us out. Appreciate you guys. Okay. Daniel wants to know, can we show some love to J-Mac? I assume you're talking Jahlil. Or maybe you're talking about Jaquan McMillan. I'm not sure. Jahlil McLaughlin. There's a couple of J-Mac options. Both of them have been great for the Broncos, have been very good for the Broncos. Yesterday was Jaquan's, Zach, arguably worst game this year. Wasn't the greatest, but he still held his own. But yeah, both those guys, and especially McMillan, has been huge for the Broncos since he emerged last year. And Jahlil, he'll continue to be a big factor as the offense finds its footing.
Yeah, McMillan has a big test coming up on Sunday. Herbert's favorite target this year has been Ladd McConkey, the rookie receiver. Slot guy, very shifty. It's perfect matchup for McMillan. It's going to be a fun one to watch, but he's one of the better nickels in the league, Chad, if not one of the best.
Okay, saying Bo greater than Caleb Williams. You know, it's interesting because you're starting to see Caleb find his footing, to use that phrase one last time here. In that game they won yesterday, you can see that pop, man, the way that ball just goes, just flies off his right shoulder, dude. It's a beautiful thing. If he can put it all together with that collection of players and kind of a defensive-minded coaching staff, there's a reason Caleb Williams was the number one overall pick, but I just love Bo's mental makeup. You know, he might not quite be, Zach, the same – next level athletic talent at quarterback that Caleb Williams is, but I think that the intangible stuff is what makes him able to compete on a level playing field with a quarterback like Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I don't think it's a fair comparison. One guy was the first overall pick, the one guy was the 12th pick, and I'd like to see what Bo Nix can do with the weapons the Bears have. I mean, they are right, absolutely loaded everywhere in that offense, so we'll see how they do, but I care about Bo on this show.
I care about Bo on this show just as much, okay? We're about Bo on this show. I love it when we're poets and we don't even know it, you know what I'm saying? A mile-high salute and a special shout-out to the great Super Chat superstars tonight. Chris Chances, hey, best wishes in your recovery. Thoughts, prayers, positive vibes headed your way. Sam Bam, love you, bro. The Papa Bear, love you. The Ronk, love you. Mark Reinhart, love you, big dog. Longtime listener, first time throwing down. We appreciate you, my friend. That's a badge of honor for us. And the GLP, thoughts, prayers with you as well, my friend. This too shall pass, I have no doubt, because you are a tough cat, no doubt about it. So thank you, Gary, for chipping in tonight. And guys, thank you for being with us. Stoked to have you. Stoked to have this conversation with everybody. But we're going to dip on out of here. So Zach and I will see you on Thursday. Don't forget, you've got some programming tomorrow night. You got Building the Broncos. You've got Broncos for Breakfast Wednesday morning. You got the MHI guys Wednesday night. Then we'll be back Thursday.
Have a great start to your week. Enjoy this victory still, Broncos country, as we look forward to Sunday's game against the Chargers. We'll see you Thursday. Take care, and as always, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.